Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. This is Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It is a Friday afternoon, and we are in beautiful Beverly this afternoon, the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, broadcasting live from the Horse Thief Hollow in Chicago, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands, a beautiful spot. Great crowd already, and it will be growing through the afternoon. Bill and Wendy here a little bit later. On the Business Lunch today, we will talk to Philip Weiss. He's the Managing Director of Seyfarth Shaw at Work, and you know, we've talked a lot on the program about the new overtime rules that are taking effect, the Labor Department rule, and it actually kicks in on December 1st. So we'll talk to Philip about what you need to know there. Also, we'll talk to the folks here from the Horse Thief Hollow about what it means to fit into a community, not just to open a restaurant and a bar, but to be part of the neighborhood. That's coming up. But we always start on Fridays with Andrea Haynes. She is the editor of Blue Sky Innovation and the Chicago Tribune, and she joins us now. Andrea, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. It sounds like you have a great show going on there today.
Well, you know, the problem is the engineers and producer Michael Heideman are already eating, so I don't know how focused they're going to be. I might have to be carrying this on my own, Andrea.
You know, I demand Michael's full attention.
I don't know. Are you traveling for Thanksgiving?
I am traveling probably on Interstate 65 for a few hours.
Oh, I think I'd rather fly cross-country than drive on 65. I heard the story yesterday that there might be a bit of a workers' kerfuffle at O'Hare, so we've got that when it comes to travel. But also, you know, always the TSA, the American Airlines and United have introduced some new smarter checkpoints to make things better. But people are always complaining about TSA, and now TSA wants to hear from you on Twitter. What's that about?
It's true. TSA has created some social media accounts to help answer your questions. They have an Ask TSA on Twitter in particular, where people can reach out directly to them and ask questions or, of course, make complaints, which also sometimes happens.
Wait a minute. People are complaining about TSA?
I know. You know, sometimes those lines, people just need to kind of vent to somebody. And TSA says, you know, they do have access to get that information to the people who need it if a line needs to be improved. But quite often they get questions from people who have just kind of last-minute questions like, can I bring ice skates on a plane?
Right.
Can I bring powdered seasonings on the plane? Can I bring DVDs on the plane? They have just kind of random questions about things they want to bring.
Well, you know, it is really, joking aside, a very cool idea because if you do have a question like that, you can just get lost looking through the website or trying to find your answer. Why not go directly to TSA with a tweet and get, they say what, the answers come within an hour or so?
Yeah, they, you know, of course, try to answer people very quickly. And they've also done a fun thing, which is take some of the pictures that they get of things, devices, whatever weird things people want to bring on board, and they post those on Instagram. And those are sometimes kind of funny.
Yeah, I would only imagine. What's the weirdest thing you tried to sneak out of an airplane? Tell me now. Don't filter your voice.
You know, I have traveled with a very large knife. I have to say that was pre-9/11, though. I haven't tried anything too crazy since then.
Why would you travel with a knife?
I was attending a cooking-related, like a cooking school in Colorado, and gift to the participants was this incredibly huge butcher knife. So there I was having to fly back and say, yeah, actually, that is a giant butcher knife.
And it's mine and you can't take it. Okay,
yep.
So that's TSA. You know, last week we talked a little bit about this fake news situation on Facebook and all, and it's really blown up in the past week or so. Everyone else is talking about it. Well, of course, Blue Sky was in the forefront there. Any new developments on that?
There have been. The Washington Post had a really interesting story that you can also read on Blue Sky about somebody who was writing these fake stories and did an extended interview with them, basically, about how he was making up crazier and crazier stories and himself could not believe, basically, that people continued to believe them.
Yeah,
so I think it's frightening, and, you know, we need to be aware of it.
You know, and we've talked about it, but it's Facebook makes money on the shares and the views, so it's in many ways not in their economic interest, at least immediate economic interest, to do anything about it.
Yeah, there was some, you know, indications this week that even within Facebook, there's a little bit of infighting over
how
they're going to handle this.
Oh, yeah, there's like a renegade force or something, right?
Yeah, there are people stepping up and saying we need to figure out a way to stop this.
You talked about Snapchat earlier, too. Did I see that they had an IPO this week?
Snapchat is getting ready. They've filed sort of secret paperwork, so we're not seeing the financials, but they are preparing for an IPO. So all those, you know, 20-second videos are going to add up to a big IPO, it sounds like.
Well, that could be good, right? Is Snapchat making money?
You know, a tech IPO, always a good thing. They're not being super forthcoming about the financials right now, though, so that always leaves something interesting to watch.
I want to ask you as well about Context Media, a local company acquired Accent Health. And until I started reading about this, I kind of had no idea such companies existed. But as I understand it, these two companies produce sort of like, well, you know, when you go to the airport and you see airport TV in the terminals, in a way, these guys are creating doctor's office TV. Did I grasp that correctly?
That's exactly what they're doing. And Context Media is really emerging as one of Chicago's fastest growing startups. The company has kind of grown amazingly. They already have 500 employees, and they've now acquired a company that has 160. And yes, they do that. You almost take for granted. You go to the doctor's office, there's something on the screen that probably relates to health-related issues. Idea being you're in that frame of mind. Your doctor may speak to you about a health issue. You're kind of ready to receive that information. They also do things in the actual doctor's office that the doctor can use to impart information to you. And it's just very fast growing.
It strikes me as a little funny, though, because I would imagine a headache for doctors are patients who see medical information on TV and then are convinced they have a disease or need a cure for something that they don't have and, you know, run into the doctor's office. And so now you've got that very sort of TV influence right in the waiting room.
Yeah, and I guess in this case, it does give the medical provider, you know, they have some control over what that information is, or they're at least, you know, they're getting it from a source that obviously they're trusting. And they hope it sets the table kind of for conversation, I guess. You want the patient to be informed, hopefully maybe not paranoid, but hopefully informed and ready to, you know, maybe accept information on, you know, lifestyle changes or just various conversations that you might have.
And hey, it's always good to find another way to get Sanjay Gupta some more money.
I know, right? Sanjay Gupta is part of it. And also Robin Mead, who is, you know, famous now on HLN, but who, as we might remember, was a broadcaster in Chicago before
right,
then.
Right here in the city. Andrea Haines, thanks for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Steve. You too.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, 1223 on this Friday afternoon. The weekend is so close you can... Well, actually, we're enjoying the weekend already. We're here at Horse Thief Hollow in Beverly. Many people enjoying a fine lunch and some others enjoying one of their handcrafted beers as well. We're going to talk to the people from Horse Thief Hollow a little bit later. But, well, speaking of beer, let's talk about holiday parties. Gretchen Van Vlijmen is from Stratex HR in Chicago, and she joins us on a phone line now. Gretchen, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right, so, you know, we mentioned a little last week, and I'm sure we'll do it again, but everyone likes to talk about holiday parties and the do's and don'ts of them. And frankly, it seems to me that they went away for a while and are coming back. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah, I do think so. Now more than ever, employers are really trying to show employees that they care about them. So this is a great opportunity to do that, especially during a hectic time of year.
But one of the suggestions you have when it comes to an office and their parties is to try to figure out whether the employees want to have a party.
Right. It might be that some of the employees would rather have, you know, a fatter year-end bonus check or maybe even a holiday turkey or something like that. So it's important to survey your employees and make sure that they really want to do it in the first place.
Yeah, and I do think you're right. I mean, that it's the sort of thing that when holiday parties are taken away, even the workers who complained about them sort of feel slighted, you know, that they're being neglected a little bit. So the value of it, I guess the value of it is as a gift to the employees, but the bosses and the workers, too, can really use the holiday parties as a way to see a different side of their coworkers, their bosses, and kind of to show a different side of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really great networking opportunity. So for managers to talk to their direct reports and get to know them on a more personal level. And then also for, you know, entry-level employees to get an opportunity to talk to someone in the C-suite that they might not normally get to talk to.
Now, here's the rub in that, though, because if you're going to show another side of yourself, it might be in a low-cut dress or it might be after a couple of martinis, right? I
mean, right. It's important that they dress appropriately, absolutely, and that, you know, there's a drink limit set somehow so that someone's not saying something they're going to regret the next day.
Well, you know, but there's a sliding scale there in a way, because if the value of the get-together is to sort of reveal yourself and you're so worried about being straight-laced and following all the rules, you might still be inhibited as well. So I guess it's kind of a balancing act, just not just for the employee, but for the employer setting up the party.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just important to set expectations, let employees know, you know, hey, even though you're outside of normal working hours, you're still required to abide by our harassment policies and show respect to everyone, but we want you to have a good time. And for employee, you know, just setting a drink limit for themselves. So maybe two or three drinks and then cut themselves off.
Two or three drinks, and that's to make room for the shots at the tequila bar, or is that not a good idea?
Not generally a good idea. You know, employers should probably, if there's going to be an open bar, outlaw shots, maybe just use drink tickets or make it a cash bar.
Make it a cash bar. No, that's not going to work. But okay, so, but tell me then, on balance, if you were advising offices, because, you know, this is a way people are competing for workers now, and one way is to make the workers feel valued. So if it's not a party, it probably should be something at the holidays, right? Find some way to express your appreciation for your workers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these workers work really hard all year round, so this is an opportunity to really show them how much you care, and it goes a long way.
Gretchen Van Blijman from Stratex HR, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, a special business lunch. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Horse Thief Hollow in Beverly. Here we are in the south side of Chicago, presented by Allstate agent Francis Wright. So thanks to Francis as well. All right, Philip Weiss is in the studio. He is in the studio. It's a nice studio, Philip, isn't it?
Delicious.
Not too shabby. From Seyfarth Shaw at Work, the managing director, and we talk about you deal with the bosses, with the companies, right, in advising them when it comes to workplace issues.
That's right, and hopefully we help them deal with the employees. So hopefully everyone benefits.
Well, you help me because we talk about a lot of interesting things, and one of the things that we've talked on the program, probably two of us have discussed as well, is this new overtime rule. And in my world, what happened before this overtime rule was retail and other outfits were designating people as managers, paying them salary, and then just working the stuffing out of them, and abusing them in some way. So the government has lifted this ceiling to where now they are eligible for overtime rather than being paid strictly as a salaried worker. I didn't explain it very well. You do a better job of it.
You actually explained that better than most lawyers,
well, that's not,
including myself.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
Yeah, no, in this case, it is.
But the idea is that so more people who are working more hours will probably be getting more pay because they'll now be eligible for time and a half, for overtime.
That's right, because it's been basically 2004 was the last time that a raise in this threshold occurred. If you're a professional, if you're a manager and you're making between about $23,500 and $47,500, start December 1, you're going to get overtime for working over 40 hours a week.
Today, if you made $25,000, you could be a flat salaried person and work 60 hours a week. December 2nd, if you're working those 60 hours, you're getting time and a half for 20 hours.
Exactly, depending on your role, because there's some discretion, authority, there's some management pieces to this, which is
right.
Your whole point.
Sure.
And what's happened is the idea was to put more money in the pockets of all of these employees.
But it sounds like there's complaints on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. Companies complain because of costs.
Sure.
Employees, you'd think they would be happy.
Right.
Managers who are going to be able to get paid for this weekend work, 24-hour toil, would be thrilled. That's not what's happening. And there's two reasons. One is what we call status shock. As you said, being what's called a non-exempt employee, someone who would get overtime, that term has historically been associated with the laborer, the
right,
salt of the
right,
earth,
right.
The guys doing the job. People work years to become a manager or, in this world, to be exempt. They're now being told, We're stripping away that title.
I was told once that, you know, when you're looking for corporate work, you're a director, you're an associate, you're, you know, blah, 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 and that the younger workers are much more tied to the title than older workers. And this is kind of that, right? The workers want to say, well, I don't want to be hourly.
Yeah, that's a really valuable point, because the notion of what makes somebody exempt, we view that as management.
Right.
Right now, it's just a legal definition. It just means that you don't get overtime.
Okay, so these workers who, well, let's take it from the employer's point of view. So from on December 1st, these workers are going to have to essentially punch a clock.
That's it.
Turn in their hours.
That's right, Steve. And that's the second issue. It's not just a status shock of saying, hey, we're putting you back where you were 8 years ago.
Right.
But I think worse than that for many employees is what we call clock shock. The idea that they got to punch in, sometimes physically punch in the clock, which is something some of them have never done, and many have not done in over a decade. So there's that notion that I had autonomy. I could control my schedule. I could work when I was most effective. Now none of that applies, and you feel tied to that punching of the clock.
A lot of people don't physically punch a clock. They turn in a timesheet or something like that, and they're filling out the hours. So they now, it will be the employer's responsibility if she works 5 hours over the weekend to put those extra 5 hours in. It seems like there might be, that they might feel a little intimidated about not claiming that time, too. It's going to be a difficult process.
It is. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Employees are the ones that typically clock in, report their time. It might be on a smartphone. It might be with one of those old clock-punching devices. And they're already up in arms, a bit of a mini rebellion. Some of them have already told us behind the scenes, we're just going to keep working. We're going to work all weekend. We'll just put our time in on Monday morning. And the managers are the ones who are going to realize, to their surprise, you got to pay people, whether or not they work with your permission. We had a guy that called us a couple days ago, Steve, a manager. He was just fuming. He's like, what are you lawyers telling me? A guy is non-exempt. He works without my permission on Saturday, and I got to pay this guy?
And that's true. They will.
We told them.
But unless they put the foot down and say, don't work this weekend.
Well, that's a great question, and that's where it gets tricky. Even if you told them you cannot work the weekend, the law says if they work overtime, they get the paycheck. So what you have to do is realize you write them a check, because that's the law. You also write them up for being insubordinate.
Okay, I was going to ask you, because this is a great example. We were talking about the fiduciary rule earlier this week, where there's a new federal rule, which I think is a good idea, but then it comes with all these other sort of, all this other baggage that makes it difficult. I mean, I still think long-term it's the right thing to do, but it's going to be a real headache for the bosses, because they're going to be responsible for things that they can't really control.
Yeah, you know what? That's a superb insight, because it's partly these people who are going to still work and then submit their time, and they'll have to get paid
right
until you maybe take them through performance. But the other issue is what we call the stealth hours. Stealth hours are the hours all those employees are going to keep working and not tell anybody.
And so what happens there?
Well, one issue
because it's going to be the employers, but I also can... I like when this close, I can put my hand on your shoulder.
I felt something. I felt a zing.
But so you might have the employees doing that, but you're also going to have workplaces where the employers are going to say, you know, I need you to get this done, maybe not put in for it.
Right, and that's going to be incredibly dangerous, because once it is known, and known can be a former employee who's no longer feeling so friendly,
right,
or an agency.
That employee who was written up a few times.
That's the same one.
Right.
We had one case where a female supervisor, she's now non-exempt, she actually crept around the house doing work on the sly, in the garage, in the bathroom, because her own husband was the payroll manager. So she didn't want even her husband to know that she was sneaking the work in.
Wow.
Just to do a good job. So we had to do some training as well as some marital counseling in that case.
But how strictly is this going to be followed? Because, I mean, I think even when I was, I'm now exempt, I guess, but I was hourly until just a few years ago. We just changed the way it was all set up. I still was working on my job at home. I never considered putting in the hours for it or anything like that. It just was kind of... part of the job was part of my life.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's a psychological reality.
Can I sue for back payment?
I have no comment. I feel very close to your employer as well as to you.
My hand on your shoulder again.
That's only going so far today.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that part of it is being aware. If you get the signals that people are doing work, the email came in on a Saturday with 20 attachments,
right,
you know the employee worked on the weekend.
Right.
If you have an inkling that it's happening, you want to talk to somebody. Could be the boss, could be human resources. So turning a blind eye is never a good idea. But the reality is some of this is going to happen as just a point of reality.
Philip Weiss is the managing director of Seyfarth Shaw at Work, and you always help us out. Thanks very much for coming by.
Good to see you.
This is the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. This WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Horse Thief Hollow in Chicago, presented by Allstate agent Francis Wright. Look at that, Francis, they're applauding for you. Well, the manager of Horse Thief Hollow, Lizzie Benner, joins us now for a few minutes. I know.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for coming by. So what's the day like for you? Do you have a typical day, or is any day typical?
Today is a typical day, or in general?
Because in general.
When you have a business like this, local business, where your community just, like, surrounds you with greatness, it's morning till night.
Okay, so Neil, the owner, was on with me probably a year ago when I was doing the show on Saturdays. And as I remember, one of the things we talked about was that this was more than just a restaurant. It was really worked at being part of the community. Community involvement. Explain that for me.
Yeah, well, Neil has made it just a spot for the community to just kind of rally around. The community has rallied around us, and we also stay very involved with various community groups.
How does that work? What do you do? I mean, so, I see art on the wall.
Yeah, so I'm actually a board member of the Beverly Area Art Alliance. So we do a rotating art show here. It's called Local Art on Tap, and we usually pick a community group to kind of fund.
Uh-huh.
So the art opening will fund. We've funded Victory Reigns before, just various community groups.
Okay, and so there's it brings people in for one thing, but how long have you been here?
Our 4-year anniversary is February 6th.
And is it about the beer or is it about the food?
The beer. Let me tell you about the beer. We've only been open 4 years. And we have won 4 awards. We've won at Great American Beer Festival twice. We won for our 18th Rebellion. We won a silver medal. For Prunkle's Dunkle, just this year, we won.
I'm sorry, say that one again for me.
Prunkle's Dunkle.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
There's a great story behind it, but we probably don't have time for that. We won the bronze for that. Then we won a silver for Cheval Du at Great American Beer Festival, and then at FOBAB, right here in Chicago, yeah. Festival of Barrel-Aged Beers, we won the gold for our Hilltop Weizenbach.
Okay, so how does that happen? Do you have a master brewer, or who's behind all
so
that?
So Dave Williams is our master brewer, and he's just done such a great job. Matt Johnson, he's here right now. Say hi, Matt.
Hey, Matt's waving.
They work their butts off, and they're really creative, and they do great things. And they both have other jobs, and they both have families. So, yeah, they're very dedicated. So I know Neil was saying to you before he just walked away that
I like the reason, way Neil was going to be on, right? He made you do it.
The reason this place is such a success is because we've been able to build this amazing team. I mean, it's all these kids, adults you see walking around here that make Horse Thief what it is.
Well, Lizzie, he didn't say exactly that. He said it was because of you who put the team together.
Well, you know that Neil and I grew up together. I actually babysat him.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, so I, you know, kind of kept him alive a little bit.
So you mean his parents put a 5-year-old in charge of a 4-year-old?
No, we grew up 2 doors down from one another. I have 8 years on Neil.
And so what's it like working with someone you grew up with?
It's really cool. I think that's why we have such a successful working relationship, because there was already that trust there.
Right.
You know, we already had history.
Both in the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So could a place like this exist in another neighborhood? And the reason, I just asked that because I want to go back to where we started about the genesis of something fitting in. If this is truly Beverly, is it a unique sort of experience?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's truly Beverly. It's truly our neighborhood that makes it what it is. We have a huge push in our neighborhood to shop local, to love where you live, and it's just a lot of that goes on in this neighborhood. So people come here. We've had weddings, birthdays, baptisms, christenings. Well, that's the same thing. First communions, I meant to say. And, you know, people just love it here. It's like home.
So when you wake up and think about your day ahead, what's the favorite part of your day?
Well, obviously seeing my children's faces.
What's the favorite part of your professional day?
I love walking in the back door. The kitchen is always hard at work on the back line, and we greet each other. I won't do it right now because I'll blow your ears out, but we greet each other with this great hello. We're always like, hi, you know, and everybody has such a great relationship, and everybody is super close here.
Lizzie Benner is the manager of Horse Thief Hollow. Thanks for having us today. It's been great. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.